getting you ready for today's game with the Wade Ford Tailgate Show.
A complete look around the NFL and especially our Falcons.
Let's go out there and compete. Let's focus in on what our job is and do our job.
The Wade Ford Tailgate Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game is presented by Wade Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer, and is brought to you in part by Hatfield Pork Products, the W Sauce, and Shake Shack.
This is the Wade Ford Tailgate Show.
On the home for our Falcons, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Now, here's John Fricke and Joe Patrick.
A 58-yard try to win the game with 7 seconds left. Pinion to hold, McCullough to snap. Snap spot, kick from Koo is away, and it is good! 58! And the money shot for Younghoe Koo.
Yeah, how about that, huh? How about that, Swappers? And welcome to the Wade Ford Tailgate Show, brought to you by Wade Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer. You win at the buzzer. You beat your hated rivals, Joe Patrick. You win in the division. You win in conference. And then you turn around quick because it's another football night in Atlanta. And it kicks off now here on the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. John Fricke with Joe Patrick. And we'll take you to 6 o'clock network coverage of the pregame show. And then, of course, the call of the game with the voice you just heard, Wes Durham and Dave Archer inside Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Well, Joe, hell of a game on Sunday. How about that?
It was a hell of a game. I mean, no offensive touchdowns, and yet you still beat your arch-rival New Orleans Saints to take a, you know, important division lead, get that little tiebreaker over them, at least at this point, this stage in the season. Just huge. Huge to just pull that result out. And, John, it feels like tonight is going to have to be something similar where it doesn't matter how it looks tonight. You just got to get a win. You got to get a win over this Tampa Bay Buccaneers team at home. Just have that in the bank for later in the season when, you know, this seems like it's going to be a really close NFC South race, which we didn't expect coming into the year.
Well, I want to remind everybody, as we go into the game tonight here against Tampa Bay, which is 3-1 on the season, that at the beginning of the year, you know, you've gone through this, the Steelers and then the Eagles, of course, and then the Chiefs and the Swampers, and now you get the Bucs here, that as we get to this game tonight, I want to remind everybody that at the beginning of the season, all the experts said, because if you read every site, Joe, the Falcons have the easiest schedule in the NFL.
Yep.
Does it feel like it's been the easiest schedule in the NFL?
No, it does not. It feels like it's been among the hardest schedules in the NFL, which it was at least at one point. I know by the, you know, going into the Saints game, they had played the toughest schedule in the NFL because the only loss that any team had on their schedule was from the Falcons. That would be the Eagles, who had the one loss. So it's been a heck of a schedule so far. Now, I know I did read that the Falcons do have the easiest strength of schedule going forward from this point on, but still, I mean, like, things change so much in the NFL. The Carolina Panthers don't look nearly as feeble now as they did when they had Bryce Young at quarterback even, so you never know how things can change. You got to take wins whenever you can get them, and it does feel like the matchup tonight with this Buccaneers team, they are really banged up. They're going to be without 5 players who have already been designated out. They've got a bunch more guys who are on their injury report, and we'll get to all that later in the show, but it feels like going up against a team in that situation on a short week, and you've got the game at home, it just feels like one you've got to make sure you take away with the win.
Well, yeah, and I was talking with some of the posters, you know, in terms of, you know, I put up our, and I know you saw it because it tagged you in it, you know, the kind of the pregame thing, you know, here, hey, it's a football night in Atlanta, yada, yada. And people were weighing in, and you could go to my Twitter at John Fricke or at JPatrick200.
That's that right.
Yeah,
well done.
Yeah, okay. And you can look at it or at 929 The Game. And some of the responses, like, for example, to your point here, one of the responses was about, you know, the fact that this team is coming into this game, you know, with a they haven't done well. I think I'm trying to get it exact, but I'm not going to be able to, so I'll just paraphrase. They haven't done well in these scenarios, Joe, where they've come into a game where first place or share of first place or something was on the line. They haven't fared well over the last few years. I think that's a fair statement, and they haven't fared well in games where first place was on the line. They had a moment a couple of years ago where they won a game, moved slightly into first place late in the season, didn't last but a week, but they haven't fared well. And tonight, if they win, they go into sole possession of first place. Make no mistake, they'd still be 3-2 with Tampa, but they would own every single tiebreaker. The tiebreakers that are available to you tonight and against Carolina, if you can win these two games, you'll come through game six owning tiebreakers that could be monumental for this team.
Yeah, and like, even if you go back to last year, you think about this team, because they won their home games early on in the season against these teams. In particular, I'm thinking about the Buccaneers, because they were the ones who ultimately won the NFC South. this Falcons team had a brutal stretch in the middle of the season last year where they were losing all these games that everybody thought they should be winning. They probably should have been winning them, and that was the whole, like, oh, you got this easy schedule, you're going to win these games. Well, it's not guaranteed in the NFL because they lost to the Cardinals, they lost to the Titans, and they lost to the Vikings all in the middle of the year, and that set them behind, but they still had a chance to win the division, basically, by beating the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at home. They, of course, don't get that done. And then Tampa Bay, obviously, that puts them in the driver's seat to go ahead and win it. So that was like one of those games where you win it, you're basically set up your postseason, and you didn't get it done, unfortunately, at the end of the game. So I agree with you, and I think that that's, again, one of the reasons why this is such an important game to come away with a win.
It is a football night in Atlanta inside Mercedes-Benz Stadium tonight. Thursday night football, third time already this year the Falcons have played in prime time. And on a short week, Tampa on a short week as well, and they had to fly in here as we get ready for the game tonight. Of course, we'll have full coverage right here on your home of the Falcons with Wes and Dave on the call inside Mercedes-Benz tonight. John Fricke, Joe Patrick kicking off our Falcons coverage. It will go through the network at 6 o'clock. Chris Goforth, Mike Johnson on the pregame show, Wes and Dave on the call of the game, and, of course, Falcons flyover with Rob Tribble after the game. So wall-to-wall coverage over the next 10 hours or so of this particular game. Right, exactly. With first place on the line between these two, if the Falcons win, they go to 3-2 on the year. Not only that, they go to 2-0 in the division, 3-0 in the conference. I mean, everything kind of lays out in front of them. You can't underestimate. Look, you play four games. All four games have come down to a play in the fourth quarter. If the Falcons make a play in the fourth quarter against Pittsburgh, they might win the game, right?
Yeah.
Falcons had two cracks at Kansas City, notwithstanding a horrific call in the back of the end zone against Kyle Pitts.
That's right.
And they won the other two.
Yep.
So, I mean, every game has been down to the wire, and you can sit here and nitpick everything you want about the two losses. The fact of the matter is they put themselves, we said, look, as important as those games were, those first three games, the most important one was Philadelphia because it was a conference game. And then it's the next three set of games. And by beating New Orleans, you set up the next three set. If you win tonight, then you put yourself in a pretty good spot.
Yeah, and I think that they've also set themselves up in a good spot because of, you know, just frankly their record at this point. At being 3-2, I think that's where everybody, when you were looking at this schedule, especially the early portion part of the schedule that this Falcons team has played so far, I think a lot of Falcons fans were expecting and hoping for 3-2 at this stage, and just because they could see that talent that they were going to have to be facing the world, the defending champion Chiefs, you know, going on the road to play the Eagles and a tough Steelers team to begin the year. So the Falcons are right where they should be, and that's a great thing considering I don't think anybody thinks that they've played anything close to their best football yet of the year. And if they can string together some of the portions of games that they've had against teams like the Eagles and, you know, play that across four quarters, that's what we're all waiting to see. But again, I don't think that's what tonight is about. Tonight is, again, just about putting yourself in pole position, basically, to run this race throughout the regular season.
Portions of the Wait For Tailgate Show are brought to you by Ticketmaster. Ticketmaster is the official ticket marketplace of the Falcons and the NFL. Well, we talked about how important the beginning of the season was going to be for the Falcons because, you know, some fans go, well, you know, it's more important later in the year. And, of course, every game is important. But it's no less important because it's in week 2, 3, 4, 5 than it is in week 15, 16, 17. I mean, the situation may dictate because you don't have any time to make those up. But the problem is when you're playing five, Joe, you're playing five of your first six division games in the first 11 weeks, it becomes critical that you not only win your division games, but you've got to go. If you're going to win the division in terms of you know, having the best division record, you got to go 3-0 at home. You just have to win all your home.
And John, especially tonight, it would be a shame if they don't win this game at home when they're going to bring out, you know, they've got the field painted in 1966 Atlanta Fulton County Stadium style. I mean, it's going to be fun in there, I think, to see just the atmosphere that's laid out. But you're right. I mean, these home games are so important, and it's something that we've been harping on all season, but I think, you know, this Falcons team needs to kind of bring this fan base into it, you know, bring the energy. And I know that they were really happy with, you know, the energy that was in the building for that Saints game, which is obviously a big one with that rivalry. But it's so important to kind of win the home games because those are the easiest ones to win. It's a lot easier to win at home than on the road, but also to just help galvanize this fan base and really generate that excitement for what this team can be come the end of the year.
You know, they're not stupid. They understand that it's a marketplace, and Atlanta being a marketplace, they know the Braves lost last night. Everybody
does.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Braves season's over. I mean, it was what it was. None of us are happy about it, but we'll go into the offseason and try and fix it. Okay, that's fine. But now they have the landscape to themselves. They have this stage to themselves. And this is what you've set yourself up. This is why you spent all the money if you're Arthur Blank. This is what you did, why you changed coaches. This is why you did everything you've done, is to have this kind of a night tonight where you have the stage all to yourself. All the eyeballs in the nation, all the eyeballs, well, in terms of football, and all the eyeballs in this city are focused on you coming off that win over New Orleans. You have to take advantage of that, because you win tonight, this town's going to go, okay, a little bit of Falcons fever will start kind of kicking in.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that you also start to change media narratives and things as well when you start to get that energy behind the team. And so what better night than tonight to, you know, put up a big number, finally break through that 30-point number that seems to have been eluding this team for so long. It would be really great if they could just get that energy back in this building. And I think they have been building some things so far this season, but, you know, this is just a chance to take it to another level.
No question about that. And as you come on down, I want to tell you where we're at. We're in our new digs. We were in here last week. They're in lot 432. We're on Northside Drive near, well, what's the cross street, Markham?
Markham.
Yeah, okay.
North side of Markham.
A couple of blocks south of the Friendship Tower there. We can see Mercedes-Benz Stadium, lot 432. Come on in, walk by. B103's having a party. You got Jim Ellis here. You got all these folks up, and we're doing this kind of big, you know, so it's going to be a lot of fun here. So come join us here at the Wade Ford tailgate as we get ready for the Falcons and the Buccaneers tonight on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. When we get back in a moment, we'll continue the tailgate show. There's a little bit of controversy involving the starting quarterback of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I'm not going to blow it out of proportion, but it's just kind of an interesting point to talk about. We'll do that as we continue next. Counting down to the Falcons and Buccaneers live on your home of the Falcons, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We're challenging everybody. If you're going to get out there and beat us, you're going to have to beat us, you know?
Back to the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. The Wade Ford Tailgate Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game is presented by Wade Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer, and is brought to you in part by Hatfield Pork Products, the W Sauce, and Shake Shack.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It is a football night in Atlanta. Tonight, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Atlanta Falcons inside Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Wade Ford Tailgate Show. It's a proud owner of three Wade Fords.
Yeah, well
one,
done.
One, two, three. Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
I take that. Four, because I bought two. I bought two, then the wife bought one, and the daughter bought one. Four.
All I have in to the family.
Myself. Yeah, yeah, right, exactly. Four Wade Fords. Wade Ford Tailgate Show from outside Mercedes-Benz Stadium off Northside Drive. Corner Northside and Markham in lot 432. John Fricke and Joe Patrick with you. I do want to just take a moment, since Tampa's in town, Joe, to say, and we can say it broadly because I know that you have a little story from yesterday or the day before, to all the victims of Hurricane Helene, you know, from Appalachian State and Boone and all those wonderful areas. I spent a little bit of my life and my career in that area in Winston-Salem. Of course, that's east of there, but Tampa got hit.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of problems still. I know we're all focused in, rightfully so, on North Carolina. But South Carolina, Georgia, and Florida also got hit. We tend to have kind of put them to the kind of the back burner there. But I saw some pictures today from Tampa, which, you know, they got really hit pretty hard, too. So, you know, our thoughts and prayers to everybody. I know that the hurricane relief stretches all the way from the Tampa Bay area all the way to the Virginia line. And so, you know, a lot of people affected.
Yeah, such a broad kind of path of devastation left from this hurricane. It's really sad. I was helping out a friend who was stuck in Augusta this week. You know, Augusta was hit really hard. Had to bring him some water and some batteries and things because he still doesn't have power. And I don't think they're still going to have power for several more days. So they're dealing with a lot there. And I feel it makes you feel more fortunate and puts it in perspective that we can go, you know, sit and watch a football game tonight.
You told me you drove by the Biolab fire.
Yeah,
Conyers.
Right. Drove right through that cloud of smoke, too.
Man,
yeah.
You've got Biolab fires.
Blotting out the sun over there.
I know, and we got hurricanes.
And I think that happened during the Falcons-Saints game,
right.
That explosion that happened.
Man.
I guess some chlorine manufacturer.
Yeah. All right, enough of the signs of the apocalypse here. Let's talk about something positive here. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers 3-1 on the season. Their one was a really weird one. It was a home loss where they got beaten badly by the Denver Broncos.
Yeah.
And then they turn around and beat the Eagles and then run the Eagles off the field.
Right.
You know, after beating the Lions in Detroit in a game that they had no business winning and yet somehow managed to win. And through all of that, they are 3-1. They are the four-time champions in this division. And yet, here's Baker Mayfield, who's found new life in Tampa, no question about that. 8 touchdowns, 2 interceptions this year. And Baker was talking this week, and being Baker Mayfield, being Baker Mayfield, You know, Georgia fans certainly know that from his days at Oklahoma. He is one to be a self-promoter, and so he was doing a little self-promotion in front of the media this week about how Baker Mayfield thinks Baker Mayfield is great, and this is what he said.
The building was a little bit different with Tom in there. Obviously, playing-wise, Tom is different. He had everybody dialed in, high-strung environment, so I think everybody was pretty stressed out. So they wanted me to come in, be myself, you know, bring the joy back to football a little bit for guys that weren't having as much fun.
Bring the joy back to football for guys that weren't having as much fun. I don't know about you. I'm going to take a guess that winning a Super Bowl is fun.
Yeah, I would think so. It's at least fun to get that Super Bowl winning paycheck that you get, that bonus that you get on top of your salary there.
I didn't necessarily think, you know, we won a Super Bowl, but man, that sucked.
Yeah, I'd never do that again.
So Brady, for his part, heard this and went, wait, whoa. They brought you in to bring joy back? Let's have a little discussion about this. So Tom Brady decided to fire back at Baker Mayfield, and here's what Tom said.
Well, I was going to say, I thought stressful was not having Super Bowl rings. So there was a mindset of a champion that I took to work every day. This wasn't daycare. If I wanted to have fun, I was going to go to Disneyland with my kids. There's a way to approach this game,
yeah,
and it's that with the right mindset and try to push each other outside of our comfort zone, and great teammates do that. You come in, I have someone like Gronkowski, I have someone like Evans. There's high expectations for us. We got to make sure we go out there and deliver.
I thought that boat ride, that they were having a little bit of fun on that boat ride. It just seemed to be.
Yeah.
They're drinking up a storm. Yeah, I thought they were having fun. I don't know. Beats that kind of me.
Oh, man. And, you know, it's funny because actually Kirk Cousins was asked about this, a similar kind of question with this. It was not related to this because it happened. This question was asked. He gave this quote before this kind of brouhaha went down. But he talked about, you know, when you've got young teammates, he said that you make clear to them that this is not a hobby, that this is not something that we're just doing to have a good time, like that this is serious. You know, we get paid a lot of money, and people depend on us, rely on us, you know, have expectations of us to perform in a certain way, and it's we get paid in order to deliver that as best we possibly can. And so I kind of, if I have to take a side here as to like which, like, I'm clearly falling on Tom Brady's side, where like the best athletes ever have just had that kind of mentality, their approach to the game. The way that Tom Brady talks about it feels like Michael Jordan would say something similar. One of the greatest athletes of all time, one of the winningest athletes of all time. Sounds like Tiger Woods might say something similar. And maybe there is something crazy about those people who are that kind of intense about their job. But I think that in order to be the best in sports, you have to be a little psycho like that.
I don't know this. I wasn't inside the locker room. I wasn't in training camp. I'm imagining when Brady was in New England with Belichick, there weren't a lot of chuckles.
Right. Yeah.
But
yeah,
there were a lot of titles.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
So Tampa, I saw all this, and I go on the board. All the Tampa Bay Buccaneers fans were not happy.
With Baker. With Baker, yeah. Yeah,
I mean, they're like, dude brought us a Super Bowl. What have you
right.
brought us?
Yeah, true. Good point.
Well, all right. You bring us a Super Bowl, then we'll ride with you. But until you do, you know.
Yeah. And, I mean, you know, in Mercedes-Benz Stadium tonight, there's going to be a player honored. One, number two, Matt Ryan, who I think was clearly also in Tom Brady's camp here, which was, you know, that we got a job to do. And he did a great job over the course of his career of being that leader who got guys, you know, on board. Not just emotionally with the team, but, you know, on the same page tactically with what the game plan is week to week and getting guys to perform at their best possible level. So that's the job of a quarterback. As much as it is to actually throw a pass and complete it, it's also to make sure that everybody's on the same page and really to be the executive amongst the playing staff who's out there on the field at any given moment.
All right, so I can't speak to New England or Tampa because I wasn't there. But I was here in that locker room at training camp, week in, week out during 2016 all the way to the 23. All right, so, and in that locker room, it was actually kind of a low-key locker room. It was a quieter locker room. It was a business locker room. And when they talked about back then that term brotherhood, they meant it. But they were not, you know, jumping up and down. Now, this team has its own different vibe. Raheem Morris comes into the locker room last week, a video that I tweeted out, you probably did too, well, much discussed, you know, with him coming in there and giving the team, and with Ku getting the game ball, should have given one to Troy Andersen, that's a different story, and then Mr. Blank getting a game ball for the birthday and all that, but he's got his own way of doing it. That's fine. Everybody will rise to whatever it is that works for you, and so... hopefully, because it seems to us, at least those of us in the media, I don't know if it seems that, you know, you're closer to it than I am, Joe, because you get to go and be a part of it, that this team is starting to find its identity off the field. Now they have to translate that on the field.
Yeah, and I think one of the differences, or a distinction that I think is important to make is that it doesn't mean that you can't be incredibly intense and competitive about your job day to day and not also be a charismatic guy like Raheem Morris is. Like, Raheem Morris won a Super Bowl with the Rams as a defensive coordinator. You know, he gets his players fired up and ready to play, but they're also just incredibly detail-oriented. And something that when you start kind of covering an NFL team, you come to realize is just how kind of intimate of a job that it is. Like, these guys have relationships with one another that, frankly, I don't have with any of my colleagues, no offense, John, but, like we just don't work as long, hard hours together, side by side, trying to problem solve together, putting our heads together and our bodies together on the field to try to solve problems.
No offense, nobody's trying to take my head off.
Yeah, right, okay. Right. But you say that, we laugh, but like it is a unique experience that like a human being goes through when you have a teammate who's you're undergoing something incredibly intense physically, emotionally, mentally, and to be able to persevere through all of it and have that kind of even keelness through it all that allows you to have success. If you're riding too high, if you see a locker room that's way too kind of buzzy and excited and exuberant after a win, like to me that's actually a bit of a red flag. Now if they are able to, you know, buckle down and repeat those performances, that's one thing, but you cannot ride the highs and lows of an NFL season, otherwise you'll never get anywhere.
Yeah, right, exactly. So it's going to be really interesting to see. Again, we don't have an identity. That's one thing I this team has not yet established, is we don't necessarily have an identity for this team. Now, you want to sit to me and say, look, the identity is they're beginning to develop an identity, for example, Joe, an identity of that's kind of carried over from Arthur Smith, which is the don't quit, which I'm seeing that. Again, four games, four tough games, four fourth quarter games. You finished in two, you didn't finish in two. You just have to learn to finish.
Yep.
I mean, years past, the last couple, 3 years, I dare say that Falcons team loses that game to New Orleans when they score that touchdown.
Right. I mean, we saw them the first game of 2022. I don't know if you remember that one, but that was one the Falcons blew away at home to the Saints, where they should have won it. Mariota fumbles late in that game. Saints go down, get a game-winning score. Falcons cannot, you know, hit a game-winning field goal at the end. And it's just like, you know, an example of maybe a learning experience for the team, for some of the players who are still there, about how quickly these leads can slip away from you in the NFL. But yeah, I mean, I think that this team is much better suited to getting the results in these crunch time situations. We saw them do it in Philadelphia with Kirk Cousins leading them down there, and I think that Kirk Cousins is a huge part of making that happen. When you have a veteran quarterback who's been there, done that, has that, again, that even keel, you know, Mike Vick with breaking out the chapstick in the playoffs in Green Bay, like, that's the kind of thing that you need from your quarterback that actually establishes confidence within the rest of the players.
Well, a team that really needs to score an offensive touchdown. I mean, offense scored no points. You know, some people were like, oh, field goals are offensive points. Not my book.
Yeah, no. They're
not in my book, sorry.
They are not happy with their offensive performance.
Well, because the kicker is not in the offensive team meetings, guys. He's in the special teams meetings, okay?
Right.
Their special teams scored 20 points last week. 20. Their defense scored 6. Their offense scored exactly 0. So, I mean, they have one call back. But still, nonetheless, you've got to – this offense has got to get going.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, and trust me, Kirk Cousins, I think he gets sick to his stomach every time he sees Younghoe Koo coming onto the field, unless it's for a point after touchdown, right? Because, like, that's just the nature of playing quarterback. And Kirk is so kind of headstrong and determined in a way that I think is going to help drive this team over the course of the season.
It is the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. It is Thursday Night Football. The Atlanta Falcons, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, another big NFC South showdown tonight in Mercedes-Benz Stadium. All the action right here on your home with the Falcons, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Go! Let's break it!
More Falcons.
Falcons coverage now. This is the Wade Ford Tailgate Show.
The Wade Ford Tailgate Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game is presented by Wade Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer, and is brought to you in part by Hatfield Pork Products, the W Sauce, and Shake Shack.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Wade Ford Tailgate Show, live from outside Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Our new digs off the corner of Northside and Markham Drive at slot 432, a couple of blocks south of the red brick Friendship Tower there, next to the V103 party bus. And we're out here enjoying all the ice cream and the food and everything else here as the people start to roll in here after they get off work and get ready for Thursday Night Football inside Mercedes-Benz Stadium. John Fricke along with our Falcons insider reporter, Joe Patrick. This look around the NFL is brought to you by Hatfield. Put pork on your fork. So, Joe, tonight Thursday Night Football kicks off week number 5 in the NFL here. Looking ahead to Sunday, just in the NFC South, you mentioned the Panthers. They are 1-3 in the year. They're at Chicago against the 2-2 Bears. Panthers had already lost Derek Brown for the year. Now they lose Shaq Thompson for the year.
Oof.
How brutal is that?
Wasn't he out for the year last year as well?
Yeah, he was pretty much out last year, too.
I think he went out early in the year against the Browns. Man, that's tough. That's a tough loss for them. But, you know, listen, they need the most help. They have needed the most help offensively, and they're getting it with Andy Dalton. So whatever they're losing defensively, at least they're getting something on the offensive side.
The Vikings, if you had said somebody, okay, they're going to be 2-4-0 teams at the beginning of the year. The Chiefs will be one. Who's the other? The Vikings.
Yeah, right.
Sam Darnold and the Vikings. Not Kirk Cousins and the Vikings. Sam Darnold and the Vikings are hosting the Jets, who are 2-2 on the year. The Ravens go in to face the Bengals. Bengals are off to a really, really slow start. But there's something, you know, the Ravens, last week the Ravens, who are 2-2 and have been really Dow Jonesy, go up against the Bills and just annihilate the Bills, who have been one of the best teams in the league the first 3 weeks of the year. Here's this stat, Joe. On the first play of that game against Buffalo, Derrick Henry's 87-yard touchdown run, longest run in the TD run in the history of the Ravens, right? At age 30, Derrick Henry reached 21.3 miles per hour on the run.
Gosh.
Tied for the fourth fastest ever by a ball carrier this year. He's 30 years old and he weighs like a truck.
To put that in context, Troy Anderson on his return was at 19.96. So he's almost, he's over a full mile per hour faster than Troy Anderson, who's a blazing guy's got blazing speed. And I think Troy Anderson was registered as having maybe, I think he may have been the second fastest player in an NFL game to, of course, Derrick Henry there.
Unbelievable. Dan Quinn and the Commanders are 3-1. We'll see them later in the year. Jaden Daniels played really well. They'll host the Browns this. Boy, the Browns. Oof. They don't win this one, heads are going to roll.
It's crazy how fast things can change in the NFL from where they were. The feel good team going into the playoffs last year with Joe Flacco, and now just in total misery.
Then you have you want to talk about total misery? Let's talk about the Jags. The Jacksonville Jaguars are 0-4. They're at home against the Colts, who are 2-2. And people in Jacksonville are fit to be tied about this team. They are. Some Jaguars fans are suggesting that maybe they ought to trade Trevor Lawrence.
Right. I mean, they just signed him to a big, big deal. Like, this was the summer. This was the summer of the quarterback contracts. When you talk about him, Dak Prescott, all these guys who end up getting their deals. And man, he has just not been good. He's missing open receivers. I see it because I've got some of his receivers on my fantasy teams, and it's making me pull my hair out sometimes when I'm seeing this. And I got to say, you know, it feels like Justin Fields is now the better quarterback between the two of them, who, you know, is kind of the big debate when they were coming out in the same draft class as to which one was going to be better. And, of course, Trevor goes number one. And now it's looking like Justin Fields is going to end up having the better career. And that's a lot to say after, you know, a short stint of, you know, bad play here by Trevor Lawrence. But it's not like it was necessarily all that great. He was basically very good for the second half of the year a couple years ago. And that's basically been the one good stretch of his career. Everything else has been mediocre at best.
Yeah, and so Jags 0-4, trying not to go 0-5 as they host the Colts. The Bills are 3-1 going to face the Texans, and they are also 3-1. But the big story, of course, this week is Von Miller. The NFL suspended him for without pay. You know, I don't know if he's coming back. The accusations against him about a year ago that he physically assaulted his pregnant girlfriend. We knew about that. Buffalo knew about that before they went after him. I mean, so I don't know where this is going to go, but right now it doesn't look real good.
Yeah, no, it doesn't, and it would be a big loss for them if they lose him, because he can still get after the passer even at his old age.
4 p.m. games coming up Sunday include the Raiders at the Broncos. Both teams are 2-2. Cardinals 1-3 at the 49ers. But boy, I saw a story. 49ers are 2-2. I saw a story where the 49ers, Joe, have 15 players listed on the injury list this week. 15.
That is yikes. And these are no like small players either. You know, some like, you know, minor ancillary kinds of players. These are some of their core players of their team when you talk about guys like Christian McCaffrey and whatnot. So, you know, they're 2-2. I still think they're going to somehow find a way, because I think Kyle Shanahan is good enough with a quarterback in Brock Purdy that he really likes and can utilize. But it's certainly putting a lot more on Brock Purdy's plate this season. He's going to really have to show up and prove that he is really one of the top quarterbacks in the NFL and not just kind of have the fun conversation and kind of be hidden behind a really talented team like he was last year.
Also, 4 o'clock Sunday, the Packers go to Los Angeles to face the Rams. Giants are in Seattle to face the Seahawks. 8:20 game. Cowboys and the Steelers, you know, the Cowboys trying to find out what they are. I don't know what the Cowboys are. The Cowboys don't know what the Cowboys are.
Yeah.
Well, if I guess this Cowboys-Steelers, there was time Cowboys and Steelers, Super Bowls, multiple Super Bowls.
Yeah.
So we'll see about what both of these teams are. And the Monday Night Football is where I really want to go, because the Swampers are in KC. So, you know, you're going to get this Kansas City kind of run here. You had the Philadelphia run through all the teams. Now you get the Swampers going to face the Chiefs in Kansas City. We don't know about Rashee Rice, of course, you know, now injured. So, you know, will Travis Kelce show up? How did the Swampers bounce back from what happened to them last week? They believe they should have won the game last week. Maybe they should have won the game last week. Guess what? They didn't.
Yeah, exactly. And I think they're going to have, for as much, I think, as people think that Kansas City's really up against, which they are because of some of these injuries on the offensive side of the ball with Rashee Rice going down, the running back situation there. You know, I still think you take Chris Jones over that interior New Orleans Saints offensive line that's getting, you know, worked around with the injuries that we talked about on Sunday morning. You still got to like your chances if you're Kansas City playing that game at home. And we'll all be rooting for them down here in Atlanta.
Well, it's starting to smell like dinner around here.
It is. I saw that look on your face, John, and I was thinking to myself, something just smelled really good.
Yeah, okay.
Might be coming from that green egg I'm looking at behind
you.
Yeah,
I mean, it's starting to smell a little like dinner out here as we get tailgating on a Thursday night, on a warm Thursday night in Atlanta. They have the roof closed tonight, Joe.
Yeah, and I was a little bit, you know, in my feelings about it earlier today, because I like it when it's open. But then on my walk over here, I was like, you know what? Maybe it is a good idea. Maybe it is a good idea. But it was really hot the day that the night they ended up opening. And remember when we were doing the game before the Chiefs game? I mean, that was very, very hot. So I always like it when it's open, but it'll be ideal conditions.
Yeah, it'll be well. It's a little bit on the warm side right now, I think, you know. And of course, you never know. I was thinking, how much does it cost to air condition that building when they close the roof?
Oh my god! I filmed it opening up, and I texted it to my dad, and I said, "This is your nightmare right here. Just seeing all the cold air just leaving the building. This is like, how much is this pissing you off? Just watching this happen."
I'm like, are we talking like $150,000 a game?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, what's it called? What do the air conditioning units look like out there? You know, oh, I got a one ton. Did they got like 12,000 one tons? I mean, what in the world? I mean, oh my God.
It's every dad's nightmare, seeing the cold air go out the window.
Yeah. Well, yeah, me too.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's just money going out the window.
Right.
You know, so it's going to be a fun night tonight. So, yeah, interesting week in the NFL here. It has been an interesting season because so far, even though the Vikings are 4-0, and even, of course, though the Chiefs are 4-0, we've seen the Chiefs, should probably beat the Chiefs. Vikings have won some close games. Look, the NFL is really tight. I don't think there's a team that you can point to in the entire league. There's some teams you can point to, Joe, and say, okay, they're out. Like the Jaguars, here's the stat. Only one team. One
right
has ever come back from an 0-4 start to make the playoffs.
That was the
Chargers in 1992.
Yeah.
You know, so now, granted, it may be a little bit easier because you do have that extra game this year and you have an expanded playoff.
Right. True.
But still, nonetheless, the fact is only one team's ever come from an 0-4 start to make the playoffs. But I'm not necessarily saying the Jaguars are out. They're probably pushing on the edge of being out. They're down to 1.1% of making it in or something after 4 weeks. But there are some teams that are out, that they're just not going to win the Super Bowl, okay? But I don't know that I can point to a team and say they're the team to beat.
Right. Oh, totally. Even, like, you know, the Chiefs, even though they're undefeated at this point, still feels very beatable, especially, you know, if
well, if we played them again, do you think we could beat them?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Possibly.
Yeah.
Very very good chance, you know, 50-50 coin flip kind of thing. So I agree with you. There doesn't seem to be a dominant team in the NFL or even a cluster of, you know, two or three dominant teams. It feels like it's pretty wide open. And especially the NFC, you know, a lot of these quarterbacks, these top quarterbacks, are kind of piled up in that AFC landscape where they kind of beat up on each other. And the NFC feels very wide open, especially with what we've been talking about with what's happening with the Niners.
Right. I think it is wide open. Yeah. And so this is what makes these games, every game in the NFL is critical. And every home game is critical. Every division game critical. Every conference game critical. And I know some Bucs fans want to make it a rivalry. I don't know. That's not to me, but it may be to you. If it is to you, congratulations. We have one rival, and we beat him last week. All right, counting down another hour closer to kickoff inside Mercedes-Benz Stadium tonight, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Atlanta Falcons on your home of the Falcons Sports Radio 92 on the game.